الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، all praises due to Allah, and we ask Allah to send His peace and His blessings and exalt the mention of Prophet Muhammad, His companions, and all those who follow them on their righteous path until the Day of Judgment. We continue with شرح العقيدة الواسطية أو شرح العقيدة الواسطية للشيخ الإسلام بن تيمية رحمه الله with the شرح محمد بن صالح العثيمين رحمه الله تعالى. And it is no secret to the brothers here, those who were here last week, is that we were dealing with the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala particularly, and the fact that Allah's knowledge is encompassing. And the Shaykh went on to elaborate about this, about Allah's knowledge of what's in the womb of each female, the beginning. No woman conceives except with the knowledge of Allah, nor does she deliver except with the knowledge of Allah. And we said, if this is the case in the beginning and the end, then obviously what is in between is more evidently known by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we dealt with a number of things about the qudra and the ilm. Qudra, the ability, which is omnipotence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the omnipotence, the ability to have power over all things. Everything is can be done by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing, there's no preventive means. No one can reject or object to anything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decrees to take place. We stopped actually lastly with the إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الرَّزَّاقَ ذُو الْقُوَّةِ الْمَتِينَ, which is a verse that follows the verse that deals with the fundamental of our existence, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ أَلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. And we reminded the brothers that it's fundamental and necessary for you to memorize this verse for da'wah. You cannot be a da'iyah if you don't know this verse. Ironically, the same way a Christian cannot be a da'iyah to their falsehood unless he knows John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son, blah blah blah. They cannot, because this is the core of their religion, which is the fact that God loved the people so much that He killed His own Son in order for everybody to have a good time. As crazy as it sounds, as serious as these people are about this, propagating this belief system. On the other hand, we Muslims have the extreme opposite belief, which is the fact that we were here on this earth in order to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by believing and implementing the uniqueness, unification of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His names and His attributes, His lordship and things of the sort. So you must know, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ أَلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, in Arabic preferably, so you could quote it in this fashion, and then furthermore in the language that you speak, and this is يعني fundamental. Right. So then we said الرزاق is indicates abundance from rizq, we said, and razik is the sustainer. Razzaq is the one who's continuously sustaining. So in the Arabic language, Ar-Razzaq is stronger in indication about the continuation of sustenance versus Ar-Razzaq, which does not give that strength in sustaining. And then we stopped at a question that the Shaykh posed, if you remember, which was, if someone was to say, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the sustainer, then shall I strive to earn sustenance, or do I remain at home and it will just come to me? And what do you think the answer is? Why? Allah is the sustainer. What's your striving going to do if Allah has already decreed your sustenance? When you were, when you turned 4 months in the womb of your mother, an angel was sent to write, the four things that will happen, including your sustenance. So, what's the point of you striving if your sustenance has been already pre-decreed? Yani it's going to come to you whichever way. Part of the decree of Allah is that you work to earn the sustenance. Part of the decree of Allah is that you also work to earn the sustenance. You cannot sit at home, not get married, and say, I'm hoping Allah will sustain me or provide me with a child. You must be crazy. If you did this, somebody say you're crazy. and a child is a sustenance. So the same way you cannot stay at home and think you're going to make some money, huh? You know, similarly, you cannot have a child unless you go through the process of marriage and, you know, more than that to have a child. Other than that, you're never going to have a child. And if you did that, people will laugh at you. They will mock you. Say, okay, akhis, you must reconsider your understanding of the deen. Yes, Allah is the Razzaq, but you also must strive. You must utilize the means that Allah gave you to get the sustenance. Yes, whatever was decreed will come to you. But then this is after you exert the effort. And of course we know there are two levels of the preordainment. That which is in the Lawh al-Mahfuz, in the preserved book or tablet with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that has the ultimate outcome of everything. This is one form of decree that doesn't change. The one that does change is the one that is written by the angels and the ones that come down from the heavens to the earth, the things that Allah decree, which may change based on you dua. Huh? You may have some sustenance written for you, you commit a sin and the sustenance goes away. So this is a lower level of decree. And this is something that we'll eventually probably deal with in this book or in the book of Sharh al-Usul al-Iman in the Masjid. This is dealt with the understanding of the different kinds of Qadr and the fact that there are things that have been, you know, in the Lawh al-Mahfuz, this is the final outcome of things. Nothing changes over there. As for the other ones, they do change. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this in the Quran. I believe it's in either Surah al-Ra'd or Surah al-Ibrahim. يَمْحُ اللَّهُ مَا يَشَاءُ وَيُثْبِتْ وَعِنْدَهُ أُمُّ الْكِتَابِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala erases whatever He wills and then He confirms others. And with them is the mother of the book, which is where the ultimate outcome of things is. I'm not going to elaborate on that now. But the idea is that you must strive in order to get the sustenance that was written to you. But at the end of the day, Allah is the sustainer. The Shaykh said, فَالْجَوَابْ نَقُولْ إِسْعَى لِطَلَبِ الرِّزْقِ كَمَا أَنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ فليس معنى هذا أن لا تعمل وتتسبب للمغفرة. It's a very interesting way he presented this. He said, we will say to this person who asked this question, if Allah is the Razzaq, shall I just stay at home and wait for sustenance to come? We will tell him, strive in seeking sustenance. He said, the same way Allah is the most forgiving, it does not mean that you do not strive to do the things that will bring about forgiveness. So Allah is the most forgiving, but if you don't repent to Allah and you don't seek forgiveness, you're not going to be forgiven. So the same way that's the quality of Allah, you still must do things to attain forgiveness. Similarly, sustenance or the sustainer is the quality of Allah, and you must do things to attain sustenance. You see the analogy? Makes sense. Very good. The Shaykh said, أَمَّا قَوْلُ الشَّعْرِ. As for the statement of the poet, جُنُونٌ مِنْكَ أَن تَسْعَى لِرِزْقٍ وَيُرْزَقُ فِي غِشَاوَتِهِ الْجَنِينُ. He said, a poet once said, it is insane of you to seek after sustenance while the infant, the embryo, is being sustained in his mother's womb. He's trying to use this understanding. So why are you striving? Even the baby who doesn't have to work, does the baby have to do anything in his mother's womb to gain sustenance? But he's sustained. He said, so the same way the baby sustained, huh? It's crazy of you to try to seek sustenance. The Shaykh said, هذا القول باطل. This is a false statement. Maybe some of you thought that the Shaykh is confirming it. He's not confirming it. He's refuting it. He says, this is false. Why? وأما استشهاده بالجنين فالجواب أن يقال الجنين لا يمكن أن يوجه إليه طلب الرزق لأنه غير قادر بخلاف القادر. He says, as for this, his justification, which is the fact that the embryo, even the baby in his mother's womb is being sustained, he said, we say to that, that the infant in this particular phase, he cannot be asked to seek sustenance because he's unable. This is unlike that who is able. So the reason here why is because this baby is not reliable to seek sustenance. He has no means. As for you, you have the means, so you're not the same. طيب. ولهذا قال الله تعالى هو الذي جعل لكم الأرض ذلولا فامشوا في مناكبها وكلوا من رزقه. It is He who made the earth subservient to you, so walk in the path thereof and eat of its provision. فلا بد من سعي وأن يكون هذا السعي على وفق الشرع. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, so walk in the path thereof and eat of His huh? Provision. So Allah commanded, He said that He made everything for you on earth. He made the earth subservient for you, but then you have to walk in the path of Allah. So He said, it's inevitable that you strive. But that striving of yours must be in agreement with the law. In halal ways. You strive in the halal way, not otherwise. وَقَوْلُهُ ذُو الْقُوَّةِ The possessor of power. ذُو الْقُوَّةِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الرَّزَّاقُ ذُو الْقُوَّةِ الْمَتِينَ This is all in the same verse. So we dealt right now with الرزاق. طيب. Now the second person is ذُو الْقُوَّةِ And then afterwards الْمَتِينَ All this is in the verse in Surah Al-Dhariyat, coming after the verse about the I have not created jinn and ins except to worship me. Verses 56 and 57, I believe. طيب. القوة صفة يتمكن الفاعل بها من الفعل بدون ضعف. قوة, power, or strength, is an attribute by which the doer is able to carry out an action without any weakness. The doer is able to carry out actions without any weakness. قوة. نعم. والدليل قوله تعالى. The evidence for that explanation of his, is the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal. الله الذي خلقكم من ضعف ثم جعل من بعد ضعف قوة. Allah is He who created you in the state of weakness. Then gave you strength after weakness. Huh? Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created you from weakness, in a state of weakness. Then He gave you strength after weakness. وَلَيْسَتِ الْقُوَّةِ This was in Surah Al-Rum, verse 54. وَلَيْسَتِ الْقُوَّةِ هِيَ الْقُدْرَةِ The Shaykh is now trying to bring our attention to some maybe misunderstanding that may develop, which is the fact that power or strength is not the same as ability. They're not synonyms. They don't give the same meaning. Ability and power. And he will show us, you may have power but no ability. And you may have ability with no power. Let's see how he explains that. And the reason why he says that, why power is not the same as ability, not synonymous with ability, لقوله تعالى وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُعْجِزَهُ مِنْ شَيْءٍ فِي السَّمَوَاتِ وَلَا فِي الْأَرْضِ إِنَّهُ كَانَ عَلِيمًا قَدِيرًا but Allah is not to be caused failure by anything in the heavens or in the earth. Verily, indeed, Allah is ever-knowing and competent. So here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, فَالْقُدْرَ يُقَابِلُهَا الْعَجِزِ Ajiz is inability. Being incapable of doing something. Nothing can ever be that. There's nothing that will make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unable to do something. فالقدرة يقابلها العجز والقوة يقابلها الضعف. So ability is opposed with disability or lack of ability, whereas power is opposed with weakness. Ability, lack of ability. Power or strength versus weakness. They're not the same. You cannot say ability with weakness or power with inability. والفرق بينهما, the difference between them, أن القدرة يوصف بها ذو الشعور والقوة يوصف بها ذو الشعور وغيره. He said, ability is an attribute to that which has feelings, whereas the strength is given to that which has feelings and otherwise. What does that mean? Is a rock able? But is a rock strong, powerful? Yes. You see? So you give that to a rock, you cannot say this rock is able to do something because it doesn't really have the ability, but it has the strength. It's strong in its structure. ثانياً أن القوة أقص. Secondly, we say قوة is more specific. قوة, power, is more specific. فكل قوي من ذي الشعور قادر. Every powerful being among those who have feelings is able. وليس كل قادر قويا. And not every able person is strong. You may be able to do something, it doesn't mean that you're strong. You may be able to do it in a state of weakness. You see what I'm saying? Right. مثال ذلك نقول الريح قوية. He'll give us some example. We say الريح, wind. Is it strong? نعم. The wind, tornado man will take a whole house. Look what's going on in the world. وَلَا نَقُولْ قَادِرًا We don't say this wind is able.
or competent. We don't say that to the wind, because that's not a really quality of the wind. Powerful, yes. But being able or unable, no. Because it's not that which has feelings. You know, it's not something that in the sense. وتقول الحديد قوي. Steel or iron is strong. And you don't say قادر. ولا تقول قادر, that it's competent or is able. لكن ذو شعور تقول إنه قوي وإنه قادر. But that with feelings you say it is powerful and it is competent. طيب. ولما قالت عاد من أشد منا قوة, قال الله تعالى أولم يروا أن الله الذي خلقهم هو أشد منهم قوة. عاد, everybody knows عاد. There are these the tribe who disobeyed, who and then they were, Allah gave them a lot of power, so they became conceited and prideful with this power, so much so that they said من أشد منا قوة, who is more powerful than us, who has more strength than us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replied to them, have they not seen, have they not considered that Allah Azza wa Jal, the one who created them, is more powerful than them? If you have power, then the one who created you and gave you the power is obviously more powerful than you. طيب, this was in Surah Fussilat, verse 15. So that's the power. Now we go to Al-Mateen. إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الرَّزَّاقُ. We dealt with that. ذُو الْقُوَّةِ, we dealt with that. Al-Mateen. Al-Mateen. What does Al-Mateen mean? The most strong. Al-Mateen, the most strong. The ultimate strength. Because power is measured, huh? Power varies from one individual to another, from one substance to another. Some things have more power than others. Two people may have power, but one may be more powerful, right or wrong. Al-Mateen is the ultimate power, the most strong. It doesn't get any beyond that, of course, as an attribute to Allah. Otherwise you may call it to a human being and it indicates that he's stronger than others, but in the ultimate sense it is just like Samir, all hearing, basir, all seeing. You may give that to a human being, but when it's reference to Allah, it's the ultimate meaning of of that essence or of that quality. Similarly, Al-Mateen, when describing Allah Jalla wa Ala, meaning He is the most strong. Qala Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma. Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him and his father. Whenever you hear anhuma, then you should know that it is the person and his father. They were both companions, believers. So whenever you hear radiyallahu anhuma, as opposed to anhu or anha, meaning it's speaking about the narrator of the hadith and his father, who was also a companion of Rasulullah and a believer. So whenever you mention the son, the father gets a piece of it as well. Alhamdulillah. Qala ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma, his uncle, his father was Al-Abbas, the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Everybody should know him. He's among those who accepted Islam versus Abu Talib, who did not accept Islam. الشديد, أي الشديد في قوته. He said that المتين means الشديد, يعني the one who is strong, huh? Strong, fierce in his power, in his might. والشديد في عزته, and he's the strong one in his might, excuse me. الشديد في جميع صفات الجبروت, وهو من حيث المعنى توكيد للقوي. So it's basically in every quality that requires strength, then Allah Azza wa Jal is the most, the one with the most strength. And in really, he said in terms of the meaning, what is intended, it is tawqeed, it is emphasis on quwwa, to emphasize the quality of strength and power, huh? To affirm it and give it a stronger meaning. طيب, عليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. ويجوز أن نخبر عن الله بأنه شديد ولا نسمي الله بالشديد بل نسميه بالمتين لأن الله سمى نفسه بذلك. Now this is very fundamental, and this is where we have to understand when we can give Allah a particular name and when we cannot. In order to do so, we must have a textual evidence, and it must be an attribute, a sifa, I mean an attribute that has been authenticated, huh, either from the Quran, the Sunnah, that is attributable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Shaykh said it is permissible to speak when we talk about Allah that He is Shadid, you know, but we do not make that one of the names of Allah. Huh? We do not make it a name of Allah, because we said that the qualities, remember brothers, the qualities is more vast than the names. The names you limited. The quality, sometimes one name we said gives more than one quality. So as a quality, shidda, shadeed, is a quality of Allah. But you don't call Allah as shadeed because you don't have any verse or hadith which mentions that. What do we have is al-mateen. So we call Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala al-mateen, which includes the attribute of shidda and shadeed. Is that clear? Not really, yani. Yes and no. You know, their Arabic is much more rich. So it's yani, of course, they're synonyms in some aspects, but not ultimately. Like many words, sometimes you can change a word with another word and only in this kind of sentence. But you cannot always use them interchangeably. You see, they don't always work for one another. طيب. لأن الله سمى نفسه بذلك, because Allah called Himself المتين. إن الله هو الرزاق ذو القوة المتين. I hope everybody memorizes this verse, inshallah. في هذه الآية إثبات اسمين من أسماء الله هما الرزاق والمتين. In this particular ayah, the two new names that we learn regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are الرزاق and المتين. ذو القوة is not a name. Possessor of power. See, it's not a name. That, you know, the one who has power. It's an attribute. Huh? Just like لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم. It's not a name of Allah, لا تأخذه سنة. That there's no sleep or slumberness overtake him is not a name, it's an attribute. In a negating form, right? In a negating form to affirm the ultimate power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we have to make a distinction. Here the actual name is Ar-Razzaq and Al-Mateen. Dhul-Quwa is only describing Allah Azza wa Jal as a quality, but not as a name of Allah.
Attribute.
It's an attribute, but not a name.
Mateen mentioned in Fusilat?
No, it's in the same ayah. Surah Al-Dhariyat. Inna Allah huwa Ar-Razzaq Dhul-Quwa Al-Mateen. This is after وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ مَا أُرِيدُ مِنْهُمْ مِنْ رِزْقٍ وَمَا أُرِيدُ أَنْ يُطْعِمُونَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الرَّزَّاقُ ذُو الْقُوَّةِ الْمَتِينَ. This is the context of these verses. أيوة. Meaning the might and strong. يعني the most strong. The ultimate strength. وَإِثْبَاتُ ثَلَاثِ صِفَةٍ. طب, there are two names that we learned, but three qualities. What are they?
Sustainer.
Quality.
Power.
Aywa, ahsant. So then the sustenance, sustainer, and the power, strength, and the ultimate strength, the most power, the most strong, that is not negated with any weakness. طيب جيد. والفائدة المسلكية في الإيمان بصفة القوة والرزق. Now what are the practical benefits that we get as believers from understanding these qualities of Allah? How do we benefit from learning these names of Allah and understanding the attributes of Allah pertaining to Allah's power and Allah's sustenance? The sustainer. Allah نطلب القوة والرزق إلا من الله تعالى. First, that you do not seek strength or sustenance except from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from Allah the Exalted. You don't seek power from the creation through dead people or otherwise, or some who seek it from the Prophet ﷺ, or sustenance. Many so-called Muslims today ask the Prophet ﷺ to sustain them. You know, they send them letters and things of the sort, and they tell someone to drop it off at the near the grave, as if he's gonna, you know, astaghfirullah. And this is crazy stuff. He's gonna pick it up and read it, and then, you know, he's gonna sustain them with something. And rizq, ya akhwan, is not only money that you have in your pocket. Rizq is understanding of the deen. Rizq is your health. Rizq is your wife, your children. Everything that you have is a form of rizq from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's not limited to what, you know, quickly comes to the mind, which is material or money. It's not only money. Rizq could be any other thing or any goodness that comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this dunya. طيب. وأن نؤمن بأن كل قوة مهما عظمت فلن تقابل قوة الله تعالى. And the other thing that we benefit practically from understanding this is that every power, no matter how great it gets, it will never be able to oppose the power and the strength of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in this case, this is in the context of jihad and, you know, the Muslims battling the non-Muslims. It does not matter how much power they have, how many nuclear weapons they have, how much artillery they have. At the end of the day, if Allah defends the believers, but we have to do the job. The problem is that we're not doing the things that will bring about the support from Allah. But if we were to do that, then all these will be of no benefit for them. They cannot oppose the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah will send angels, even without the angels. But if Allah will, as He did with the Sahaba, He will send angels and they will destroy them. They will destroy the others. He will send wind. You don't even need human beings. Send even mosquitoes, flies. They will surround these people in such a way where they will not be able to function. You know, human beings are weak. Look at Australia right now. Fire, man. Look, ya akhi, these human beings, we've built, you know, they went to the moon. They have a spaceship, imagine, to go all the way to the moon. You know how crazy this sounds? Did you ever think human beings would be able to go to the moon, land on there, you know, have a cup of coffee, wearing this weird, you know, outfit, and, you know, going to the moon like it's just going on a picnic? Now they go all over the world, they've invented an airplane, all kinds of crazy machinery, power and weapons and army. Then a fire comes and no one can do anything. You don't want to stop a fire. It's just moving with the wind. Everybody's running away. No army, no power. Even if they brought the whole country, even if they sought assistance from others, because a fire is one of the soldiers of Allah, no one can do anything. I say, that's funny. When you say you're able to go to the moon, you can't stop a fire from coming to your house. Put some water on it, it doesn't go out. You know what I'm saying? They throw sand, just, it's moving. Subhanallah. And how many homes were destroyed? How many people died? They're unable to still stop a fire. Similarly, in America and other countries, tornado comes, nobody can do anything. Earthquake comes, nobody can do anything. So with all the rain, if it rains and you're done, they cannot do, yani, it shows you the weakness of the son of Adam. Sometimes they get conceited with themselves and they don't understand that if, when the time comes, and inshallah the time will come, that they're going to get their, you know, their piece of the pie for the, you know, the corruption they're spreading upon earth today. They're going to get the consequences of that sooner or later, at least on the day of judgment. So then the idea is, no power can oppose that of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Surah Al-Kahf. What does it say at the end of, before the ayat moves to Musa? Come on, you brothers. No, don't need to get it. You should all remember it from our mind. Everybody should memorize Surah Al-Kahf. You read every Friday, Shaykh. Before Musa, the last verse. وَلَوْ يُؤَخِذِ اللَّهُ لَا لَعَجَّلَ لَهُمُ الْعَذَابِ بَلْ لَهُمْ مَوْعِدٌ لَا يَجِدُ مِنْ دُونِهِ مَوْئِلًا. But I'm not remembering the first ayat. Come on, brothers, get it. Has anyone have Surah Al-Kahf memorized? لَعَجَّلْنَا لَهُمُ الْعَذَابِ بَلْ لَهُمْ مَوْعِدٌ. See, I'm remembering the middle and on. وَلَوْ يُؤَخِذِ اللَّهُ لَا لَعَجَّلْنَا لَهُمُ الْعَذَابِ بَلْ لَهُمْ مَوْعِدٌ لَنْ يَجِدُوا مِنْ دُونِهِ مَوْئِلًا. Anyways, the meaning in English, I cannot remember the wording in Arabic. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was to treat immediately with justice what the children of Adam earned, He would have hastened the punishment for them. But verily He postponed it to the day in which there will be no escape from. But Allah postpones it, either later or on the day of judgment. So Allah, if He wishes to deal with the people according to their sins, as Allah says in other verses in the Quran, there will be no human being, no one will remain upon the earth. We will all be taken away due to our sins. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is patient, as-sabur. Allah is patient and He gives them the chance to repent, to change, to go back to Him. Perhaps, they will benefit. But if they don't, then when the time comes, then verily the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is severe. Did you find it? You looking it up?
Yes.
Wallah, now my mind is, I'm not going to be happy until I get this. We found it in Pocket PC. وَرَبُّكَ الْغَفُورُ ذُو الرَّحْمَةِ. And your Lord is the all-forgiving, possessor of mercy. لَوْ يُؤَخِذُهُمْ بِمَا كَسَبُوا. If He were to hold them accountable for what they have earned, لَعَجَّلَ لَهُمُ الْعَذَابِ. He would have hastened the punishment for them. بَلْ لَهُمْ مَوْعِدٌ لَنْ يَجِدُوا مِنْ دُونِهِ مَوْئِلًا. But they will have an appointment which they will have no escape from. They'll have nowhere to run away from. So this is the verse, and there are many other verses with the same teaching that deal with this particular conception. Now, how did we get here? So the idea is then all the power that the children of Adam have, nothing. a waste of time, and if Allah wills, it will be of no benefit for them in comparison to the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we conclude that the ayah, إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الرَّزَّاقُ ذُو الْقُوَّةِ الْمَتِينَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الرَّزَّاقُ ذُو الْقُوَّةِ الْمَتِينَ. Now we move on to the most fundamental verse, the most fundamental verse in this whole book, and perhaps one of the most fundamental verses in the book of Allah, the Quran period, in the category of the names and attributes of Allah, which is the one that we base all of the understanding. Everything we're learning here is based on this verse. If you don't understand this verse, which is the case with many Muslims today, you want to hear something that happened to me recently? You know the lecture, Where's Allah? We dealt with that. My family decided to make a little presentation on YouTube, to put it up on YouTube, that was short time, around 7 minutes, where we have a slideshow. It's like a PowerPoint presentation dealing with how the Ahl Sunnah al Jama'ah prove that Allah is above His creation. And it's my voice in the background. I'm the one reading them. You know, you go to YouTube, you'll get the email tonight, inshallah, you'll see it. So I just, you know, say Ahl Sunnah al Jama'ah believe that Allah is above His creation, and they use five things: the Quran, the Sunnah, the consensus, the Aql, and the Fitrah. And I just give the evidences. As soon as we uploaded this on YouTube, not even 2 minutes, 2 minutes, you know what the first comment was? The first comment, this guy is a kafir, speaking about me. Wallah al-Azim, this guy is a kafir, take him out, he's corrupting the minds of the Muslims. Usually we put a video, it takes a week for someone to click on it and view it. As soon as we put it, I don't know how, he's waiting and he's just sitting there in the background. Look, in no time I got an email. I'm like, what is this email for? I go click on it. He said, this guy is a kafir. He called me a kafir, because I'm using the Quran and the Sunnah and all these things. This is to prove to you that people really have a problem. You know, this is a real disease in the Muslim Ummah. This is not like we're speaking about some you know, foreign people. This is real. And then he quoted, you know, then he started, you know, he gave four comments in 1 minute. Of course, I had to delete the comments and block the user. I said, block, take this guy out of my face, because the people are going to come say, you know, it's going to become a battle, you know, between taking back and forth. Of course, I emailed him separately on the side. He didn't reply to me. He didn't bother. But I told him, you know, basically, Yaqi, let's say you're right. How do you explain the hadith in Sahih Muslim with the slave girl? If I'm a kafir, because I'm saying this, how do you explain what Prophet ﷺ asked the slave girl, where's Allah? And she said, fi sama. How do you explain that? You must interpret this for you to say that I'm a kafir for believing what I believe. He said, this is not Ahl Sunnah Jama'ah. In the second comment, he said, this is not Ahl Sunnah Jama'ah. This is Wahhabiyya. Liars. You know, anyways. Wahhabiyya, who wrote this book? Who wrote this book? Ibn Taymiyyah. 700 years ago. There was no Muhammad al-Wahhab. What Wahhabiyya, man? Imam Zahabi, his book Al-Ulu, where he quoted all of the statements of the Imam Bukhari, Muslim, Shafi'i, Hanafi, Maliki. Where's Wahhabism? This was the teaching from back then, before Muhammad ibn Wahhab rahimahullah, who's very recent. So this to show you that the people are ignorant. They've been taught by their leaders, their Imam, their Shuyukh in the Masajid. Ha, be careful. If someone says this, he's a Wahhabi. Once they think the word Wahhabi, they think it's a ghost. So then they no longer take any information. And Allah knows that the truth is over there. But this is from the tricks of the shaitan, huh? To keep the people away from the truth. Otherwise, even if it's something that has a name, Allah gave you a mind to look. Ya akhi, read. Read. Use your mind, say, Allah guide me to the truth. Right now, if someone presents to you some other information, you read it. You know, to see whether, if you have knowledge, of course, to see whether this is acceptable or not. If you're really sincere in guidance, Allah will give you the indications that this is falsehood. But just to scare people by the name, so then, according to this person, I'm a kafir for saying what all the a'imma said. So in his statement, he made takfir against Imam Malik, Imam Ahmad, Imam Shafi'i, Imam Abu Hanifa, Bukhari, Muslim, Tirmidhi, Nasai, all of them are kuffar. And he's upon the right path. Just to give you a reality, yani this is a reality check for us to see that this is a real disease in the Muslim Ummah. All of this because they don't understand this verse. So we must understand this verse. You've heard it already maybe 1,000 times since we began these durus. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ Surah Ash-Shura verse 11. There's nothing like unto Him. There's nothing like unto Him. Who are we speaking about? Allah Jalla Jalalu. There's nothing like Allah. So stop worrying and freaking out and denying the Quran and the Sunnah because you insist on making similitudes to Allah. When you don't understand this verse, you force yourself to believe that there are parallels and you set parables to Allah and similitudes to Allah. You understand them in human context, so then you have to start denying the Quran because you're afraid that you're going to make Allah like His creation. Had you understood this verse, you would never have a problem. There's nothing like Allah, case closed. Right or wrong? There's nothing like Allah, case closed. Then you accept whatever came from Allah according to understanding that there's nothing like Allah. Allah has a face, yes, but there's nothing like Allah, then mind your business. Allah told you there's nothing like Him, so you cannot imagine it, and whatever you've seen is not the same. And whatever is among the creation is unlike the Creator. Can a table make a table? The one that make a table, was it a table that made a table? No. The manufacturer can never be like the product. Never be like the product. So in this simple understanding, the Creator cannot be like the creation. So when Allah says He has a face, why do you insist on thinking of a human being? Although we said that among the human beings, faces are not the same. Among the human beings and animals, they're not the same. Then human beings and insects, they're not the same. But we say face, face, face. So if there's such a big distinction between the creation, then what about the difference between the creation and the Creator? It is even more evident and greater. Huh? Is that clear? That's laysa kamithlihi shay. We really need to know this verse. So anytime someone presents to you a misconception, you say, listen, I don't know what you're talking about, but I know that there's nothing like Allah. There's nothing like Allah. You know? This is one verse. And the other one, إِنَّ اللَّهَ نِعِمَّا يَعِذُكُمْ بِهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ سَمِيعًا بَصِيرًا Here we're using this verse to understand السَّمِعُ وَالْبَصَرُ I believe inshallah, na'am. Verily, how excellent is the teaching which Allah gives you. Truly Allah is all hearer, all seer. This is in Surah An-Nisa, Women, verse 58. So now both of them, one says, وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ And the other one says, "Huh? Inna Allah kana sami'an basira." Both dealing with sama' and basar. Sama' is hearing and basar is seeing. Al-sharh, explanation. Qawluhu ta'ala laysa kamithlihi shay'un wa huwa as-sami'u al-basir. هذه الآية ساقها المؤلف رحمه الله لإثبات اسمين من أسماء الله وما تضمناه من صفة وهما السميع والبصير ففيها رد على المعطلة He said the Shaykh rahmatullah alayhi had used this verse, has quoted this verse in order to confirm two of the names of Allah which contain two attributes and they are the attributes of hearing and seeing and in that is a refutation against Al-Mu'attila Who are the Mu'attila? Al-Mu'attila are a denomination of Muslims who deny the names and attributes of Allah because they do not understand لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ They say if you say that Allah is all hearing and all seeing and we human beings are also hearing and seeing, we hear and we see, you are making Allah like His creation so we deny that. They say to you, you cannot say that Allah is all hearer, all seer. Because when you do that, you made Allah like His creation, so no more. You see how crazy this sounds? Huh? You hear, you see. If you confirm that to Allah, to them, you're making Allah like His creation. So they're trying to exalt Allah, huh? They're trying to magnify Him and glorify Him above being similar to His creation, so they wind up denying the attribute altogether. They say you cannot say that Allah is Sami' Basir. The ghulat among them, Jahmiyyah, the ghulat, those who were extreme among them, they said you cannot give Allah any name or attribute. Because each one of them to them makes Allah like His creation. What do we say to them? Ya Ammi, it's in the same verse. You must be cuckoo here. The same verse tells you, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ There's nothing like unto Him. وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ Allah teaches you in the beginning of the verse that there's nothing like unto Him. So why do you insist that that makes Him like His creation when He just told you that there's nothing like unto Him? You see? But they don't want to understand it in this context. طيب. قوله ليس كمثل شيء هذا نفي فهو من الصفات السلبية والمقصود به إثبات كماله. ليس كمثل شيء, is it affirmative or in the form of negation?
Negation.
ليس كمثل شيء, there's nothing like unto Him. He said this is negation, and it is one of the negative attributes, which means not negative in the sense that it's negative, negating attributes, that's a better way to put it. One of the negating attributes, and what is intended behind it is to show perfection. It is mentioned like that to prove the opposite, which is perfection. يعني لكماله لا يماثله شيء من مخلوقاته, meaning because of the perfection of Allah, none of His creation can ever compare to Him. Because of the perfection of Allah. وفي هذه الجملة رد على أهل التمثيل. And in this part of the ayah is a refutation against those who make Allah like His creation. You see? So in the same verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refuted both al-mu'attila and mushabbiha, the two major denominations who deviated from the main path of orthodox, huh? Mu'attila, the deniers. Mushabbiha, those who make يعني, similitude with Allah. They compare Allah to His creation. The same verse rejected both. For those who say that Allah is like His creation, and they deny that, they say because we don't want to make Allah's creation, we deny that, Allah says, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِي شَيْءٍ. For those who say that Allah is like His creation, again, they were refuted that there's nothing like Allah. So this verse refutes both deviant sects. And they are very much available all over the Muslim world. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide them to the truth. قوله وهو السميع البصير السميع له معنيان أحدهما يعني المجيب والثاني يعني سامع الأصوات. السميع has two meanings. The first is the one who responds. We will see why. السميع, the all hearer, meaning the one who responds. That's one meaning. The other one is سَامِعُ الْصَوْتِ, comprehension of sounds. Comprehension of sounds. You see what I'm like? When you hear me right now? Huh? Is this the first kind or the second? The second. You're not answering my request of anything. Whether you're comprehending the sounds that I'm making, you're understanding them. So that's the second category. So the first one is answering, responding to the supplicator. We will see why. We will have verses from the Quran to prove that that's one of the meanings. And the second one is comprehension of sounds. Right. أما السميع بمعنى المجيب. As for the سميع, which means in one context, مجيب, that is the one who responds. فمثل له أيوة. فمثل له بقوله تعالى عن إبراهيم إن ربي لسميع الدعاء. Then we give an example of the same of Ibrahim in Surah Ibrahim, verse 39. Verily, my Lord is the all-hearer of invocations and supplications. So here, what is intended is sami' al-du'a. Not only that Allah hears it, but that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds. Huh. What do you say when you get up from ruku'? Sami'a Allahu liman hamidah. Allah hears the one who praises Him. Here, it's not just hearing. Of course, we know that Allah hears. But here it means ijaba, response, that Allah will respond. So we know that now, the two examples. We will give the second example. وَأَمَّا السَّمِيعُ بِمَعْنَى إِدْرَاكُ الصَّوْتِ وَإِنَّهُمْ قَسَمُوهُ إِلَى عَدَّةِ أَقْسَامِ. The second kind, which is comprehension of sounds, it has been further divided into more than one category. الأول سمع يراد به بيان عموم إدراك سمع الله عز وجل وأنه ما من صوت إلا ويسمعه الله. The first is explaining the vastness of the quality of Allah's ability to hear, which is basically the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hears every single sound. Every single sound, everywhere in this universe, simultaneously. No matter how low the volume is, how small it is, how far it is, and wherever it is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hears it. This is one aspect of the comprehension of sounds. الثاني سمع يراد به النصر والتأييد. Hearing, which what is intended behind it is nasr, aiding, giving victory and assistance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وثالث سمع يراد به الوعيد والتهديد. A third kind is what is intended behind it is warning and threatening. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will warn and threaten. We will get examples from the Quran. All this is based on understanding verse from the Quran, not from their own intellect. The ulama, that's their job. They understand the deen in a comprehensive way, then they give you the fruit. Me and you don't have the ability, because we may know one verse, and we may be limited to the one verse, but there may be 10 other verses that give you more understanding of what you're looking for. So when you have an alim, a knowledgeable person who knows, he's able to bring all of them on one table and give you the juice, extract the benefit. You may be limited, you may understand only one thing due to your knowledge, due to our shortcomings in our knowledge. So this is what the ulama do. That's why you always see they divide the deen into categories. This, you know, this one, divide, division. Why? Not dividing the Muslims, but in order to explain it to the people. They say that, you know, the conditions of Tahara, huh, or the conditions of Salah are such 13 or 11. Now you wouldn't know, but they went through all the narrations and all the verses in the Quran. They found that these are the conditions for the Salah. So then they gave them to you in a number form, and then they enumerated for you. طيب. مثال الأول, the example for the first. What is the first?
Response.
Now we're done with the response. Now we said comprehension of sound is three categories. The first, the general encompassment. Allah hears everything everywhere. Right? Example, Surah Al-Mujadila, verse number 1. قَدْ سَمِعَ اللَّهُ قَوْلَ الَّتِي تُجَادِلُكَ فِي زَوْجِهَا وَتَشْتَكِي إِلَى اللَّهِ. Indeed, Allah has heard the statement of her, which was Khawla bint Ta'laba, that was a woman, that argues, disputes with you concerning her husband, and complains to Allah. And everybody knows this particular incident that happened. This is where the surah was called Al-Mujadila. The woman that was arguing, she came to speak to the Prophet ﷺ regarding the problems that she had with her husband. So what did Allah say? قَدْ سَمِعَ قَدْ سَمِعَ اللَّهُ قَوْلَ. Allah has heard the statement. Now this is general, right or wrong? General. فهذا فيه بيان إحاطة سمع الله تعالى بكل مسموع. سمع الله تعالى بكل مسموع. This indicates the encompassment. Huh? Allah engulfs all of the sounds, سبحانه وتعالى, with His hearing ability. ولهذا قالت عائشة رضي الله عنها, this is why عائشة, may Allah be pleased with her, said, الحمد لله الذي وسع سمعه الأصوات. All praise is due to Allah, whose hearing encompasses all sounds. She said, وَاللَّهِ إِنِّي لَفِي الْحُجْرَ وَإِنَّ حَدِيثَهَا لَيَخْفَ عَلَيْهِ بَعْضُهُ. She says, وَاللَّهِ I'm in the same room, and part of her speech I'm unable to hear. You know, she speaks, Rasulullah Sallam, and Aisha can hear some things, and she cannot hear others, and she's right there in the room. She said, Alhamdulillah, whose hearing encompasses all sounds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala above His creation, above the seven heavens, and Allah hears exactly what this woman is saying to the Prophet ﷺ, although Aisha is in the same room, and part of her speech of the woman, she's unable to hear. Huh? Khawla bin Tha'laba, radiallahu anha wa radaha. طيب, this is the first example, which is what? The general encompassment of Allah's hearing ability. Second, كما في قوله تعالى لموسى وهارون إنني معكما أسمع وأرى. Surah Taha, verse 46, Allah told Musa and Harun, verily I am with you both, hearing and seeing. When did that ayah come? When He sent them to Fir'aun. When He sent them to Fir'aun, they said, oh Allah, we are afraid. We are afraid that He will transgress, He will harm us, He will kill us. Allah says, verily, go. I am with you. Huh? إِنَّنِي مَعَكُمَا. I am with you. Of course, we said the ma'iyyah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not necessitate that Allah is mixed with His creation. I hear and I see. What does that mean? That don't worry, this is nasr wa ta'eed, aiding and assistance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allah will aid them. Nothing will, you know, they will not be harmed by the will of Allah. That's the second kind. Everybody understands. Beautiful. And thirdly, وَمِثَالُ الثَّالِثِ أَلَّذِي يُرَادُ بِهِ التَّهْدِيدِ وَالْوَعِيدِ. When what is intended by hearing is threatening and warning. قَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى أَمْ يَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّا لَا نَسْمَعُ سِرَّهُمْ وَنَجْوَاهُمْ بَلَى وَرُسُلُنَا لَدَيْهِمْ يَكْتُبُونَ. Or do they think that we hear not their secret conversations? Do they think that we do not hear their secret conversations? Yes, we do, and our messengers, the angels, are by them recording. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do they think that we do not hear? And this is threat. Be careful, meaning the fact that Allah is hearing is threatening you from the accountability of these particular actions. This is Surah Az-Zukhruf, verse 80. فَإِنَّ هَذَا يُرَادُ بِهِ تَهْدِيدِهِمْ وَوَعِيدِهِمْ حَيْثُ كَانُوا يَسُرُّونَ مَا لَا يَرْضَى مِنَ الْقَوْلِ. He says, what is intended here is threat and warning, because they were trying to speak secretly about that which is not pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. والسمع بمعنى إدراك المسموع من الصفات الذاتية وإن كان المسموع قد يكون حادثا. Anyways, hearing in terms of the comprehension of sounds is one of the personal attributes of Allah. Is one of the permanent personal attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because we will see later on how this is divided into things that happen, like anger. Anger happens as a result of something. You displease Allah, then you attain the anger of Allah. No. Later, we're dealing with the attributes of Allah. Some are personal and some occur due to an event. Pleasure of Allah, anger of Allah are based on an incident that takes place. There are other attributes, the dhatiya, personal, that are always with Allah, such as hearing. It is not a result of something. He said, although at times it could be a result of something, that when someone speaks, then hearing happens. والسمع بمعنى النصر والتأييد من الصفات الفعلية لأنه مقرون بسبب. Hearing, when it comes in the form of aiding and assistance, is one of the action, okay, one of the active attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because it is always associated with the reason. يعني there's a reason for Allah to aid someone when aid is required. والسمع بمعنى الإجابة من الصفات الفعلية أيضا, and also responding to the supplication is also فعلية. فعلية means an action happens and then the attribute is in effect. You supplicate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ijaba comes. If you didn't supplicate, there'll be no ijaba. You see what I'm saying? It is conditional to an event. Don't stress yourself. This is premature, because the Shaykh will eventually elaborate on this inshallah in an extensive way. So we will wait until then. Anyways, we will desist right now. There's only 3 minutes left for the adhan. And we have done with As-Sami'. We will be beginning inshallah next week with Al-Basir, and how to understand that it's very similar actually to As-Sami'. We will do that next time inshallah.
How to say the words that Sami'a al-Ladina qalu inna Allah khabir wa
nahnu. That's not how the verse goes. Hey, qad sami'a Allah qawla al-Ladina qalu. Hey, inna Allah faqir wa nahnu aghniya. Allah has heard the statement of those who say that Allah is poor and we are rich. These are the Jews. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala curse them. Yes, but this is another example. But the Shaykh has only given us يعني, the one that will just deliver the concept. Otherwise, there are many verses with the same understanding. Okay,
the verse, what
is the meaning of that verse? نَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ. Let's just conclude this first. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.